shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God arises on the behalf of his people and he scatters all the darkness. Hallelujah. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is the God of Jacob. He's known as the God of Israel. Israel, his people, will endure for eternity. Hallelujah. No one can wipe out God's people. We are called the Israel of God. The people of God who are born again and bought with the precious blood of the Lamb are called the Israel of God. We collectively are called royalty before the living God. Princes and princesses. Sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. You have given me the oil of gladness, a garment of praise instead of ashes, a shining crown instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair. Oh, you have given me gladness, garment of praise instead of mourning, a shining crown instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair. God has taken away our tears, and he continually takes away our burdens. The Lord has not designed that we go to him one day and not every day. He has not designed that we go to him once a month or once a year. But he said, every day come to my gates so I can impart to you my grace to give you power over all the power of the enemy. There is no discouragement. According to God's word, there is no gloom. There is no depression. There is no anxiety. There is no frustration. There is no fear. Nothing that can subdue a child of God. Nothing. If we believe in the living God and we're able to draw from him, from his word, his covenant, his promise that, Lord, when I'm going through a difficult time, I'm able to look to heaven and know my God is there for me. I'm able to look to him and draw, you know what it's called? New strength. New strength. It's not the old strength, it's the new strength. Daily we can receive new strength. That's why the scriptures say that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. God shall help her, and that right early, the Bible says. He's never late. God is there on time to help us. And he's the one who gives us this garment of praise. Praising God. God calls us to praise him, especially when things are not going well. You know why? Because that's an expression that we believe, number one, God exists. Number two, that he has the power to lift me out of my discouragement and problem. Number three, he has the power to fill me with praise. God is on the throne. He's real. Secondly, he has the power to transform any situation, even the worst situation. And not only does he bring us out of despair, but he places us in an area and a path of praise. Praise is something that requires faith. How can you praise God when you don't feel like praising God? This is where that growth happens in the Christian life. And when the pressures and the problems become more and more, it takes more growth, more power, more grace. If we stop drawing from the Lord, we won't be able to praise him after a point. But the ones who can keep drawing from the heavenly grace, so Lord, speak to me. Lord, I need a word from you. Lord, say a word. I don't know what to do in this situation, Lord. I'm not only confused, but I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. It's a very Bad place to be in. But you know what? The Lord has been in the worst place. Everyone deserted him. And he bore the weight of the whole world's sins. Nothing that he did wrong. Innocent blood. And he did it willingly. And yet, in the midst of that, it says in Isaiah 53 that he had this joy that came in the midst of the sorrow because he saw many, many souls are going to come out from bondage to the devil and into the kingdom of the Father, into my kingdom. So the Bible says for the travail of his soul, that's the burden, the pressure that he went through, he was able to overcome it because of the joy that was set before him. How can you see joy when all you see are nails and they're going into your wrists, your hands? How can you have joy when nails are going into your feet? We can't even fathom that. It's not just a moment of feeling down. He was having pain at every level. But somehow in the midst of it all, he was able to keep his eyes on the Father. And he drew from the Father, even though he was the Son of God. You know why? He showed us, as the God-man, you can do what I do. I have gone through the valley deeper than anyone else. And I have actually experienced pain more than anyone else. Sometimes we think, Lord, no one understands my pain. This pain has got to be the maximum pain a person can feel. Therefore, I feel qualified to complain. We must remember the Christ on the cross. The Christ of Gethsemane. The Lord that went through the mocking and the beatings and all those things, but somehow he is able to feel all the pain and yet keep his eyes fixed on the Father. And so now that he died on the cross and he rose triumphantly on the third day and he sits at the right hand of the Father, he says, keep your eyes fixed on me. Many Christians, when they're going through the worst trials, they were able to somehow supernaturally shift the focus from that raging pain emotionally, mentally, physically, and somehow look to Jesus. And you know what? Many have seen him on the cross in the moment of their suffering. It's a revelation. All of a sudden, the more you focus on Jesus on the cross, even though we weren't there, the Spirit of God can transport us in a moment to see him on the cross. And as we look to him on the cross, all of our pain becomes lesser and lesser and lesser. All of our struggles become more minute. And we begin to draw from heaven. That's the secret. That we can go to this living God. Number one, he's alive. Number two, he has the power to lift me out of my despair. No matter what it is. How can Jesus say, my soul was glad. I was filled with joy. My soul is in agony. But I'm looking at all the good things that are going to come out of this. Through the trials that we face, we're able to gather, garner, and gain spiritual growth. Imagine if we didn't have trials. We would never have the challenge of trusting God for bigger and bigger things. When we see that God is allowing something to happen, we're able to look beyond that and say, Lord, it's not just to get me out of this situation, but you're doing something to strengthen my faith in you so it becomes stronger that I can overcome this trial and be ready for the others that are going to come my way. The Lord said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You'll have trials. No one is exempt from trials. We have different degrees of them, different times in our lives. But the moment we feel that my trial right now has got to be the worst because I can't see anyone else going through what I'm going through, much less understand what I'm going through. Until we look to the only place we're called to look. Not at ourselves, not at the next person, not at our past, or anything, at Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle did the same thing. He looked at Jesus at the finish line. And he was on point and on time everywhere he went, whether it's prison or the beatings or he had to preach or raise a dead boy that fell from the third story while he's preaching, whether he got bit by a serpent, shipwrecked, and all kinds of things happened to Paul. But not once do you hear him say, God, I've had enough. He was called the indomitable apostle. You can't dominate him. He dominated his circumstances. How do you do this? How can I overcome my situation? Looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. It's when we don't look at him and we begin to look to ourselves and that self-pity may come. Or that looking to see where the blame can fall. You know what? We're wandering the wilderness. We need to look to heaven. We need to look to Jesus. We need to look to him on the cross and also at the right hand of the Father. Lord, you know what we need to say? Lord, I know you can get me out of this. I know you can solve this problem. How do you get to that point? There's a growth involved. How many of us know that we go through situations that we don't think we can pray? It's that heavy. But we are choosing to do something. We're saying, Lord, I'm not going to sin against you. I can't praise you now, but one thing I refuse to do is sin against you. Lord, I'm stuck somewhere in the middle. I can't move forward. And then the Spirit of God comes and shows us, you can pray. You can even praise. How do you do that? There's a growth involved. The trials are meant to show us the weak spots. Many times. And you know what? We take that to God and say, Lord, I have this weakness. I have this situation within me that I need this resolve because I don't want it to repeat. And we go to the Father and the Lord says, this is the solution. And sometimes it takes us to go alone with God and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And God may show us, this is how you can overcome this situation, this problem. At that point, God is training us and we're receiving something new. You know, with the instruction that God gives, he always gives the grace to execute it. Always. But all of this takes one thing. It takes faith. I can't pray if I don't have faith. Not true prayer. I can't praise if I don't have faith. I can't learn or apply if I don't have faith. So I continue looking to Jesus. Lord, I can't, but you can. Amen? I can't, but you can, Lord. And I'm looking to you. I'm joining with you. I'm going to see this mountain come down. And I'm going to rise above it. Hallelujah. Because God said so. The Bible is full of promises. Thousands of them. But how poor we would be if we went through our Christian lives and never really understood that thousands of them belong to me, but I've never taken it to the heavenly bank. It's just sitting there. This check in my name, that check, and masses of checks in my name where God says, if you call unto me, I'll answer you. I'll show you mighty things that you didn't know. In your weakness, my strength will be perfected. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We can take a few of those, but we need to take all of them. And we need to say, Lord, help me to know how rich I am. I'm rich because I have the promises which God will never break. We can trust God. No bounce checks from heaven. Amen. When God gives something, it is legitimate and he'll fulfill it. But it takes one thing. It takes faith. Now look at the progress. Here's a believer who heard about Jesus and said, I just know in my heart, you're the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody could have done what you did. Nobody has. In my place, you took my sins. You have to be the one I need. I think I want you in my life. I want you in my life. And a person simply says, like a little child, come into my heart, Lord. I want to be your child. And they become born again. But when they get born again, all hell will come to try to snuff that light. And when the adversity comes, the devil's hope is that this person will run the other way, away from Jesus Christ. But if we say, but the God who took my soul from going to hell, turned my direction to go to heaven, who gave me a new start and a new heart, won't leave me, I trust him. Then we see that he gives grace to overcome that adversity that comes. And then we face the next one. And the devil's hope is that he will step up the pressure just enough so we say, I give up. He loves to hear that. Because when we say, I give up, you know what we're really saying if we're believers? God has given up. Does God ever give up? Never. Never. It's our connection with him during the trial that makes all the difference. So long as I have that connection, even if it is in the midst of my weakness and sadness, I still say, Lord, I know you're there. I may not be able to feel your presence. I know you're there. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. His grace will come. And we'll find strength that we never had before. We'll find hope that we did not have. And we're able to climb up out of that. Or rather, God pulls us up out of that pit. Now, if we stop right there and say, I'm excited, he got me out of this pit. Now the next adversity comes, and I go back to the same way I handled it before, and I start despairing. I haven't grown a whole lot. But God hasn't left me. He loves me. He's hoping that I would put my trust in him to the point that whatever adversity comes, immediately I say, Lord, but you can. I can't, but you can. As long as we keep saying that, that faith will cause us to rise above the situation. Now, most of us, being physical creatures, would like to see, feel, hear things changing. This is our domain. But when we get born again, we're transported to a heavenly domain. So we cannot go by what we see, hear, or feel anymore on this level. We need to be able to see as God sees, hear as God speaks, and feel what he feels. Then all of a sudden we'll find ourselves rising above the situation. Instantly peace will come from heaven. And so the progress is that as I keep facing adversities, I keep bringing into practice, or putting into practice, the same thing. Okay, another mountain has come my way. Jesus, I'm going to see how you're going to take this away, Lord. Hallelujah. Even when it's hurting, even when it's so depressing or discouraging, I begin to train myself. And that's what you call cooperation with God's grace. The grace that comes to me, I begin to cooperate with it. And as I continue, I'll get to a point where I'll be able to praise God. The Apostle Paul said this, I glory, and he said actually we, glory in our, he didn't say victories, triumphs, that's easy. When you win, it's easy to celebrate. He said, I glory in my trials. I glory in my tribulations. How can you glory in your tribulations? That's because he was seeing what God sees, hearing what God is speaking, and feeling what God is feeling. He knew every adversity that comes in my life is truly, truly, it's not a psychological, self-motivational type of thing that we do, but there's a living God who said so. no weapon formed against you can prosper. So that means the trial is coming to lift me higher. When the flood came upon the earth, two things happened. Two gravitational forces were in motion. The flood came worldwide. One gravity pulled the people who did not believe down to the bottom. The eight souls that believed in God, the water pushed them up. There's a new gravitational force. That's exactly what will happen in our trials. If our faith is in the living God, and we see as God sees, we hear as God hears, and we feel what He's feeling, the trials will be like that flood. It's all around me, Lord. David said, it's even up to my neck or over my head. But it's actually lifting me up because my eyes are upon Him. And I will overcome the trial. This is why we can sing. He has given me the oil of gladness, a garment of praise. No more mourning or ashes to stick to me. It can come. But somehow the child of God is able to draw strength from God to rise above the flood, rise above the tribulation. Where are we? We have the scriptures. We have Jesus. We have people like Paul. Are we supposed to be different than them, or are we supposed to be like them? Then we have to say, Lord, give me this strength. The lady said, Lord, or Messiah, Rabboni, give me this living water. I don't have it. A big mistake that people make is that when one becomes a Christian, somehow they're in the mindset that I'm in and everything is available to me and it's going to automatically come. It's not true. We have to draw by faith. Everything is available, but there's a consistent hungering, a thirsting, and a drawing from heaven's resources for every single need. How? Through the promises. Thousands of them. And we go to God not with a generic prayer or a feeling that, Lord, help me, but this is what God has said about the situation. I'm feeling weak. Oh, God, but You said, Your strength is made perfect in my weakness, and You give power to the faint. I just bring the word of God, and I speak it to him, and the devil hears it, and you know what else? Your body hears it too. Your situation hears it. The word of God changes the atmosphere because it brings God's presence. And when I praise God along with the word of God, it changes the atmosphere. But we act like lone rangers many times. We are in a blizzard and we think everything's failing, the brakes are failing, or nobody's able to get me over this hill. And when I come out of a trial, I can say I trusted God. But what if I'm in the midst of a new trial and it seems like there's no hope? Can I still say, but my God, You love me and I love You and Your word is true? Oh, can I make that shift to go from that protest to praise, that complaint to this celebration? The Apostle Paul was saying things that were impossible in the natural. He said, I will glory in my tribulation. And somebody loses something or loses their job or loses something precious, instantly our hearts drop. We're human. God understands that. But God says, my word can come and give you the faith to know that it's not over. It's an arrow. It's a trial. But I'm going to bring you out of it. That's how we grow. And we consistently say, Lord, I'm drawing from the promises, praising Him, praising Him, praising Him. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you. They drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Chains binding us. Situations crowding around us. It can be psychological, emotional. It can be where we have lost control. If we have lost control, there's a revelation in that. You know what it is? That we are not as strong as we thought we were many times. But there's a step that we need to take with that. I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to draw from Him to subdue this deficiency, this weakness, so that I don't fall into this trap again, because the devil's looking to sink me down. And if I don't learn how to approach and overcome him, I can sink. See, there's an instruction part of this. As we walk with the Lord, the master-disciple relationship has got to be understood. And we have to say, I'm a learner. This Christian journey is not just a surf on some tide where I just cruise along and hopefully make it. There's a definite concrete marching like a soldier, step by step. There are mines over there that can blow up. God says, watch out over there. But then there are clear steps to cause you to ascend up the hill, the mountain. Take those steps. How can we know the difference until we learn? And then if we face on the journey this situation that always seems to get me down, I need to go to God and say, Lord, but it's not supposed to get me down. You see? We need to realize that. Nothing should be able to get a Christian down. That's the truth. So if we allow things to get us down, God doesn't say, I don't want to be bothered with you because you're weak and you didn't listen to me. No. He loves us. He says, let me show you how to overcome your situation. That's where many people take a detour and they begin to think and replay, overthink, replay, and try to assess, reassess with their own human natural wisdom. We'll be back in the same mess. The devil knows. The only reason you got out of this one was not because you trusted God and learned something new from God. It's because time just passed and I withdrew my forces. But I'll get you again in the same thing. It's not supposed to happen. We have to say, Lord, it happened once, maybe twice, no more. What am I supposed to do, Lord? The book of Proverbs has these short sayings for our lives. And it talks about two kinds of people. It talks about the wise person and the foolish person. And God says, if you're wise, things will become more and more glorious for you. No matter what the circumstances are, you will be living in my glory realm. Isn't that what we want? But if you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you and teaching you, it's just a matter of time you'll be back into the same problem. So we get to learn from God how to triumph, how to overcome. And we need to say, Lord, help me to live this victorious life. Victory is not just getting a promotion. Victory is not just getting healed from an illness. You know what's greater than that? It's when we're able to praise God sincerely from the heart in all situations. That's real victory. Because that's something internal. If I'm internally strong, nothing on the outside coming in can shake me. But if I'm weak on the inside and I haven't drawn from God's strength, many different things can shake me. The good news is, we need to see where we're weak and say, Lord, I'm not wearing the helmet in this situation. That's why I got hit. Lord, I'm missing that body armor that you gave me, this armor of righteousness. That's why I got hit. Lord, I failed to use the sword of the Spirit. That's why I got hit. I didn't have peace. I wasn't living about the gospel. It was not about the gospel. It was about me. I didn't have the shield of faith. It seemed like all of a sudden, I'm celebrating God and the victory and the good things, but I failed to wear the armor. And so when the attack came, I went down. And now I have to get up, but we're not meant to live like that. We're meant to have the armor on, keep praising God. The song said he can work through those who praise him, for our God inhabits praise. When we're feeling rotten, down, discouraged, depressed, we say, Lord, I have this disease attacking me and that person attacking me and the finance is not good, Lord, and this is breaking down. Oh, Lord, there are too many things. What can I do? Praise. But Lord, even though things are bad around me, you're still good. You haven't changed. And my eyes are fixed on you. And as we praise, the Bible says that the presence of God will come down. And in a split second or less than that, we can be transported, same body, same situation, heart full of gratitude, eyes wide open to the Savior, faith rising, praises, and we're able to see God has a way out. Hallelujah. God has a way out even in this situation. With man, this is impossible. Truly, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Shall we stand up and praise God? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that the trials that we face. How many of you have seen the hand of God in the midst of your worst situation?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. You really thought, this is it. I can't get out of this one. That's what the devil said. But you saw God come through. It gave you faith. You saw God got me through something that I could have never gotten through if it wasn't for his power, his grace. Oh God, help me to live that kind of life. This life of dominating my situation, it's not just for the elite, quote unquote, for those preachers that are always talking positive talk. No, it's for every Christian, every Christian. We should say, Lord, I want to grow. I've got to grow. We have the choice to remain stunted in our growth or to keep growing and growing and growing, where we can be like the Apostle Paul. Be like Jesus himself. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the garment of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll praise God. Hallelujah. No matter what, I'll praise God. Determine in your heart, no matter what, I choose to praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God's presence will come and he will defeat the foe. He will turn the situation around. You don't think God could give you money? If you're poor or you're struggling, he says, all the silver and gold in the whole world belongs to me. And he says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That includes everything, everything. You don't think God can heal you? Even if it's an incurable disease? There's no such thing as impossible with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows that the trials are real. He knows they're painful. He knows that this is the end. If it weren't for God, we'd be in the grave. But because we're alive, we have the ability to praise God. We can say, Lord, if you got me out of the worst thing, what's this trial? That's the trick of the devil. He makes something that we go through bigger than it is many times. He makes us forget what God brought us through. When I couldn't breathe, he gave me breath. I could have died. So what's being late for work? The boss? What's he going to do? Threaten me? What's a little injury? Pinky, thumb? It hurts. I can't do what I used to fully, but I couldn't breathe at one point. Somehow to me and to you, when we just see, Lord, what you took me out of, I have to praise you. We're going to sing that song again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you right now serve only to remind you. They drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. The chains that you have right now, the problem, the situation. You may have one situation, a real situation, something that causes confusion or pain, and it looks like a dead end. But you may have two situations. Maybe you have three or four or five or ten. They're all crowding around like enemies saying, you're going down. Your God can't help you. That's from the devil. You have to praise God, and when you praise God, let God arise, let His enemies be scattered, the devil scatters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.